Parshat Yitro is a fascinating parsha. Who was Yitro? What do we find in this parsha? What kind of advice did Yitro give to Moshe, the greatest prophet that ever lived? An outsider manages to give Moshe advice that Moshe actually makes good on. Where are the Ten Commandments in the entire Torah written, and why? Let's have a deeper look into this week's parsha. At the end of Parshat Beshalach, the Jews were attacked by Amalek, and the Jews, led by Joshua, Yehoshua, push back as Moshe lifts his hands in prayer, and the Jewish people come out victorious. This week's parsha is Parshat Yitro. The miracles of the splitting of the sea and the amazing defeat of Amalek by the Jews made news all over the world. But out of all the people in the world who heard the news, the only person that actually did something about it was Yitro. You see, many times we hear incredibly inspiring, moving moments, but it takes a great person to act upon those moments, and we need to act immediately, because otherwise the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, will get to us and push us off. In fact, there's a story, as we all know, when somebody comes around collecting, a great man came once to collect for his poor daughter who was sick and ill. He came to a synagogue and he started crying and begging people to give for his daughter's medical expenses. As time passed, he finished his speech. Everybody was very, very moved. And then he went around collecting. There was one guy at the back who was prepared to pay £10,000 immediately towards this. But as the guy went around collecting, the guy started thinking, 10,000 is a lot of money. I mean, he'd be happy with 5,000. The guy continued collecting to the next row and the next row, and he said, 5,000 is a lot of money. Maybe I should just give him £1,000. I'm giving more than everybody else. And by the time the guy got there, he gave him £100. You see, it takes a great person to move. And Yitro heard these incredible, massive miracles, and he decided he was going to come and join the Jewish people. There's a debate whether this happened before Har Sinai, before the Torah was given, or after, but let's continue with what happened. Yitro comes towards the camp. He sends a message that he's coming. Moshe hears he's coming with Moshe's wife and two sons, Gershon and Eliezer, and he goes out to meet his father-in-law. When people were watching, they saw Moshe is going out, and they said, where's he going? How? We have to join Moshe. And then Aaron joined him, and then the Zakenim, the elders, joined him, and then everybody started to follow in an orderly manner. In fact, Yitro was greeted by the entire nation. This is one of the great rewards that he had, because when a person comes towards the nation of Israel and he wants to get closer to God Almighty, then he is greeted by the entire nation. Yitro listened as Moshe related firsthand the incredible miracles that happened at the time. He decided that he wanted to join the Jewish people and become a Jew himself. To celebrate becoming a Jew, Yitro brought korbanot, sacrifices, to God and made a party. He invited Moshe and Aaron and the righteous leaders of the Jews to his party. Moshe, the greatest leader of the Jewish nation, insisted on working as a waiter at the party. He wanted the mitzvah of serving guests and honoring a convert. Now, the Torah relates that Moshe didn't have an easy life. He was the leader, after all. 600,000 men left Egypt, plus their wives, plus their children. It's a massive, around 3 million nation. And the Torah had been given, and there were many laws and questions that people had to ask the rabbi. And the only rabbi with the answers was Moshe. And he had people from the morning until the evening asking to see whether Hashem agrees with their decision, whether they're doing the right thing according to the law or not. And Yitro saw Moshe and he gave him advice. He said, Moshe, you can't do this by yourself. I'm going to advise you. Yitro, after all, was an advisor to Paro himself many years earlier. And Yitro, as a wise man, gives the following advice. He says to Moshe, appoint many judges, one judge for every 10 Jews, and one for every 50, and one for every 100, and one for every thousand. If there's a question of the law, the Jew goes to the judge in charge of him and the other nine people. And if that judge doesn't know the answer, the question goes to the judge of 50. And if he doesn't know, it goes to the judge of 100, etc. It goes up and up. And if they don't know, it comes to you. And that way you delegate. Altogether, Moshe was looking for how many judges? 78,600 people to become judges. That's a big call. Moshe took Yitro's advice and things got a lot better. Moshe had less of a workload and the Jews didn't have to wait so long anymore to get answers. What kind of judges? The Torah relates that a judge should be the following. Good leader. He should be wealthy so that he can't be paid off by other people. He should be afraid of Hashem and not of people. Be honest. Not be interested in money. Shouldn't look at money as the most important. Rather, look at God Almighty as being the most important. Yitro loved being with the Jews and Moshe and the family, but eventually the Torah relates he decided to return to Midian. He wanted to teach his own children and others about Hashem. He decided to go back and try to convert his family and other Midianites. Moshe tried to get Yitro to stay, but Yitro had already made up his mind, and Moshe sent Yitro off with great honor and many gifts. And now the Torah moves on to Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. If the Jews hadn't accepted the Torah, the world would have disappeared. The Torah is at the essence of the entire reason and being of the entire world. The Torah is important also for another reason. Without it, we wouldn't know how to use the world the way that God wants us to. We wouldn't know how we're supposed to act, how to behave to others, how to make God and ourselves happy. And this parasha explains and describes the way that the Jews prepared themselves to receive Torah. You see, Torah isn't something which you can just open. You need to prepare yourself first. How did the Jews prepare themselves? Well, firstly, the Torah was given in a desert. It's a place that belongs to no one. Anybody can have access to it. And secondly, the desert is a place with sand dunes stretching for miles in all directions. There's no trees, no cities, no people. It seems endless. The reward for learning and keeping the Torah is also endless. But also, it's a place where you can actually concentrate on what on the present that you were given the Torah. And the Torah is hinting to us, that is why it was given in the desert. We need to concentrate. We need to understand the expanse of the reward. And we need to understand that no matter who you are, the Torah is available to you. It's not owned by anybody. It's owned by the entire nation. During the 6 weeks after the Jews left Egypt, they complained to Moshe many times. The war against the Amalek made the Jews realize how wrong they had been and they had done teshuvah and repented. When the Jews arrived at Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, the first day of the month of Sivan, the Jews were ready to get the Torah. And Hashem told them on that day to rest from their travels. At Har Sinai, there were no more complaints. All the Jews were at peace, and the Torah relates that Vayichan Sham, they encamped there like brothers and sisters, one family. So they arrived on Rosh Chodesh, then there was day two. Moshe went up the mountain where God spoke to him, and Hashem sent Moshe with a message to the people, do you really want the Torah? With that instruction, Moshe was to first ask the women in a nice, pleasant way. With the men, he should take a more firmly action. Kot Omar, it says, v'taged. It changes. Omar is soft. When you speak to the ladies, it should be soft. And when you speak to the men, a bit firm. He should let them know that the Torah comes with great responsibilities. Did they still want the Torah? God Almighty said, if you accept my Torah, you will be an Am Segula, beloved treasure to me. I will watch over you the way a king's treasure's house is always watched and protected. You will be my most loved nation on earth, my special nation. And then he continues, you'll be a nation of Kohanim who inspire others to be good and serve Hashem. You will become leaders who will lead the world to believe in me and to be good. You will be a holy nation that cares more about spiritual things like mitzvot and chesed and Torah study instead of being focused on money and physical pleasures. Moshe came down Har Sinai And the Jews heard Moshe and they said, everything Hashem said, we agree to it, we'll do it. What a smart nation. If Hashem is giving something away, you take it. No questions asked. The Jews trusted their creator. They knew he wanted what is best for them. Although God Almighty had offered many nations the Torah first, they had rejected it. He went to the nation of Esav and asked them, do they want the Torah? They said, what's in it? He said, you're not allowed to kill. They said, no, killing is part of our culture. He went to the Bnei Yishmael and they said, what's in it? And he said, you're not allowed to steal. They said, stealing is part of our nation and our culture. The same thing happened to all 70 nations. And the only nation that really believed in God and took it is the nation of Israel. So day three arrives and Moshe went up the next morning to bring back the Jews' answer to God. Yes, they want the Torah. Hashem told Moshe that he would speak to him from a thick cloud to give the Torah. The Jews would hear God's voice speaking to Moshe. When they heard that, they would know that Hashem spoke to Moshe, and all future generations would know forever that Moshe was Hashem's prophet. They were told that the Har Sinai was off the limits. Day four, they get ready. Hashem was very pleased when Moshe told him that the Jews said, but in order for Hashem to speak, they would have to prepare. They'd have to make themselves holy, stay pure for 3 days, and on the 6th of Sivan, they would receive the Torah. 3 days later, there was massive miracles at Har Sinai, thunder, lightning, fire and smoke, as God Almighty first made everybody healthy. There were no sick people, no deaf people, no blind people. Everybody was there to listen and to hear to the Ten Commandments. And what were the Ten Commandments? As God spoke the Ten Commandments, we know that they were very, very special. And when God speaks, it's not easy to listen. In fact, our rabbis tell us the Jewish nation were boomed. Their neshamot yearned out towards the voice of God, but their bodies died, if you like, and God had to resuscitate them and make them alive again, as he repeated this, as he said the second of the commandments. Again, the Jews heard this and their souls flung out to God, whereas their bodies stayed over here, and God again had to do Techiyat HaMetim. And by the third one, they said, listen, Moshe, we will love hearing God, but we want to hear it, we want to stay alive. So Moshe said the last eight. God said all 10 in one go. Then God said the first one, the second one, and then Moshe said the last eight. What are the 10 commandments? I am Hashem, to believe that there is a God. Number two, don't believe in idols. Number three, don't say Hashem's name for no reason. Number four, remember that there is Shabbat. We should be keeping this incredible holy day, Shabbat. Number five, honor parents, father and mother. Number six, do not kill. Number seven, do not marry the wife of another man. Number eight, do not steal. Number nine, if you are a witness in court, don't lie. Number 10, don't desire someone else's belongings. The parsha finishes with Hashem giving a command to tell Moshe to make the Keruvim. Even though he's going to make these Keruvim, these two gold statues to be put on the Aaron, on the ark, which would contain the 10 commandments, they were not allowed to make any copy of these in any way or form. Also, the parasha tells us the rules of making an altar, the Mizbeach. It was made of a hollow box filled with earth. The Mizbeach in the Bet HaMikdash was to be made of stones. The stones couldn't be cut and shaped with iron tools because weapons such as daggers and swords are made out of iron. Weapons shorten life, and the Mizbeach, the altar, lengthens the life.